like Prince. Like, he's like, I don't listen to music. If I want to hear a new song, I'll write a new song and fucking record it. Now I have a new song to listen to. Like, so we do this for us. Like, we're not doing this for anybody else.
So, in one of the, I think one of the songs I remember from the new album, it talks a little bit, or is it gives that message that you guys are in it for the long haul, and you guys are still kind of, doing that dream of creating your music and kind of still chasing it out there, and which is, I mean, it's something that not a lot of bands do that end up, going the popular route, or kind of, bending to the popular to the popular trend.
Talking about
How
the
do you do
ballad.
that after so
Yeah, where do I
many,
begin?
yeah, where do I begin? How do you do that after, so many years, and I'm, still fighting? Alcohol, yes. That's part of it.
It's only part of it. No, it's just, I think that, there's something to be said about if you just try to go out there, kind of like what Joseph was saying, we could write some stuff that could fit the current way of how music is kind of done. You could do the algorithm stuff. You could have a song be a certain amount of time. I've worked on situations too that I'm not happy about, where it's literally been like, what is the most popular song right now? Let's recreate it. And there's no soul in that. And I'd rather go pound nails for a living than fucking do that, because it's just lifeless. So we couldn't do that with Witherfall. I mean, we formed this whole band over a decade ago on the fact that we were going to do our own thing, like what we wanted to hear in music, what songs we wanted to write, no matter how ridiculous they might be. So we'll have a ballad that could have been a 3.5 minute long song, but let's take you to fucking down the rabbit hole on it because we want to, because that's just what we want to hear. And if you want to go down the rabbit hole, you can. If not, buy the ticket, take the ride, I think that's just kind of, I mean, we could do it, we could play that whole game, but it wouldn't be fun. It would be exhausting, and then when shit doesn't work out well, you're just gonna be pissed off, and it's difficult, but doing this route, but it's what our whole game plan was. You can't don't change horses in the middle of the stream.
That deathbed thing, like, no one's ever gonna go, like, you're dying of cancer, hopefully you're like in your 80s, you're like laying there and you're like, God damn it, man, I'm so glad I wrote songs for the
Oh God.
Spotify algorithm.
No, that just already makes me upset,
I'm not gonna badmouth any particular band, but it's so blatantly obvious, like, when a band is just like, they picked a niche and then they're just like gonna hit that fucking button like every time. And I personally don't enjoy it. I know, like, a lot of people, like, they have a thing and they love that thing, and it doesn't matter how fake or contrived, like, the band or the music is that's doing that thing. They just like that that thing exists. And, like, it's like Star Wars parodies almost. It's like, if you're really into Star Wars, you're gonna like a Star Wars parody, no matter how fucking stupid it is. It's not that any band out there is stupid.
No, but it, like there's no problem with that for the fan. I mean, if the people that are doing it enjoy, that's what their mission is, is to do that, whatever that is, and that makes them happy. But if you're trying to do it for, I mean, we can't do that. We're too fucking honest. We'll just be like, this isn't us. This sounds like shit. And then, believe
Honest
me, we've
is
done it. There, we have. Joseph probably has an entire fucking some sort of server filled up of ideas that we've gotten far on, and it's been like, this sucks. Fuck it. We're not feeling it.
yeah. Yeah,
I imagine
I have a
it's got to
vast
be
archive of
difficult to kind of, I mean, not difficult, but it's easy to kind of just stay within your comfort zone when you find something that works, and it moves the algorithm, and you kind of just get complacent, and it doesn't feel like, especially with the new album, Sounds of the Forgotten, it doesn't feel like you guys are getting complacent, or you guys are just kind of sitting back and just doing the same thing again. the previous album that you guys had was a real, I mean, that was when I got to kind of meet you guys and what you guys were doing. And it was a real eye opener for me because it was something different. It was the crazy long songs. It wasn't Opeth, you know, like the boring shit for 10 minutes. It was something different, but it was long songs that actually did contain a lot of different stuff within them. And you guys seem to be even pushing that a little further with this new album.
Yeah. I feel like we're stretching out more and more, honestly, with the writing. Like, cause you know, we got like, the first record, like it was literally like the first five ideas that Jake and I had. Like, it was just like, okay, let's do that. And then we ran with it. And then Prelude, we were in the middle of all that crisis and shit with Adam, and it didn't, we were just trying to follow that star, right? And now it's like we're really comfortable writing, so like we can stretch out, and I don't even know how many genres are on this new record. The next song coming out is like a 70s R&B.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like, you guys haven't even heard the new one coming out.
I don't even know what genre that is. It's like Zeppelin meets like the Isley Brothers. Like it's Steely Dan meets fucking, like, I don't even know. I don't even know how to classify it. It's
very strange. The new one coming out.
But I could see
what date is that,
girl with a diary, like, you know, listening to it, like in like drawing pentagrams like in blue ink in the fucking diary. Like it's just a weird conglomerate of music.
That's just, yeah, because every single, but that's the thing, is that I think with Witherfall, everybody, like, you, it's I think Zeus, our producer on this last record, and engineer, co-producer, I guess, he that it's Witherfall. It's like a box of Cracker Jacks. You never know what you're gonna get, you know, which basically is right. We one thing to me that going back that I've always liked and try to do is that when you put on a record, not every song sounds the same. It's not gonna be like, who would want to listen to 45 minutes of the same song, you know, like the same structures. And like I always wanted to take you on a journey, and I mean, for example, we had probably about a 5-hour conversation on the layout of the vinyl, like basically like how each song's going to be, the track listing. Yeah. Because we want people to experience all of our records as you used to, which is you start from track one and you end the last track. Maybe a little hidden piece on the end.
Maybe. Do you write for the sides of the vinyl, like side A, side B? Is it like,
yeah, exactly,
kind of a separate feeling? Okay.
Oh yeah. We had our buddy Don, who's he's the guy that shoots a lot of our kind of like film stuff with us, and he's been with the band for a while, and he's a huge vinyl nerd, and he took what I had and completely flipped it all around. And I was like, all right, Don, you win, you know, this is the best way to do it. Cause it's, you know, the whole aspect of physically flipping the vinyl and how each song can blend into each other.
It's a very 80s program, this new vinyl, the way that it runs together, like the way the ballad comes in, is just, it blew my mind the first time he suggested it. Cause we weren't sure. Cause you know, like a lot of times, like you're tempted to just go bam, bam, bam in the first three songs. Mm-hmm. But this shit, like, it had an emotional impact the way that it's sequenced. It was really cool.
And I guess sometimes it takes somebody to look from the outside a little bit to kind of catch that, since you guys are kind of like way in there and you have one kind of vision that this is the way it should be. And then you have somebody looking from the outside who actually already knows you guys, who can actually say, no, you know what? Let's switch it up this way or that way.
And the problem is that none of the people we hang around with say no. I always joke about this. It's like, you know, like a lot of friend groups, like you'll have two guys like me and Jake, like that are like out of control. And then there's like some moderating force. We don't have any moderating forces in our fucking friend group. It's like, if someone gets added, it makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. When you, I mean, because we're in it from, I wake up thinking about Witherfall on some end and I go to bed thinking about it. So it's nice to have someone that's from an outside, because you can get so into the weeds. Mm-hmm. And I get, especially with the song stuff, it's like, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like after we get done with the record, like, I don't even want to, I can't listen to it, because you're looking at every, I mean, fucking, you, once you get done with hearing the mixes and you're back into watching videos, you know, of doing, relearning the songs for shows or all that stuff. And you're just like, okay, so it's kind of nice. It was randomly the other day, something just popped, a Witherfall song popped up. I forgot about it. And I was like, this is a pretty cool tune. And I'm like, oh shit, that's a Witherfall song from like Nocturne's era. And I was like, that's what I want to hear. You know, I wish if there was one superpower as a musician, would be like to be able to listen to your songs as a new listener, you know, because when you're creating it, it's you're also so into it. You can't really have those fresh ears and make those right decisions, you know? So
first thing I do after like a mix is agreed on is take a week off and then get some mushrooms and go somewhere with headphones.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. It's the best fucking thing in the world. Like, I've been doing it for a long time. Like, I love that. Like, it's almost because, you know, like psychedelics kind of give you that like infantile, like first experience thing, no matter like where you are, what you're doing. It's like why people are like petting like the wall. They're like, oh, like I've never felt anything like this before. It does the same thing with music. Like it makes it like brand new.
All right. Just kind of off camera, we took a little break here. Do you guys want to talk a little bit that you've also been writing stuff for beyond this album?
Yeah. I mean, we're always writing. Like in the you know, like going back to the business side of the thing, we're really picky on what tours we take. And, you know, so part of our strategy is that we're just going to constantly release record after record, kind of like the Kiss model. I mean, COVID kind of fucked us, among other insurrection type related things. Yeah, I mean, like, I think it, Jake will probably agree with this. Like, the best part of it is the writing and releasing music and seeing what, you know, how people react to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's why we do all this, like we were talking about the daily stuff, where you wake up thinking like, oh shit, what's gonna go on here, and then going to bed with the same thought. It's the writing. Writing is the best part of it all, and writing and getting the record out. That's why we started doing this, you know. It's not for really anything else. Like, if you started doing this for another reason, I think that those seams will become, you know, they will be slowly stripped away, and people will be able to see that too and be like. So, I mean, I can't remember if we were talking about it before we did like a little intermission, but you know, we started this with just kind of doing, we wanted to write songs that we wanted to write and run a band that how we wanted to do it, you know. And it's been a little bit of a it's definitely been a fucking journey, 10 years now, you know. And it's you know, it's like the Lord of the Rings shit, where it's you meet different hobbits along the way that might help you out or might try to cook you, you know. It's an interesting ride.
There's definitely been characters that have come in and out of the fold that were on different sides of that dividing line between good and evil, for sure. You know,
so let's talk about some of these characters.
But to your question, though, yes, we are. We're actually meeting up in a few days from now to commence. It's a little inside joke there on the writing of the new record.
Jesus, there's one that that left us.
What's that? Oh yeah, yeah.
There's one character that's not in the movie anymore.
Yeah, that's an Adam Sagan joke right there. God, yeah. I can remember receiving that. That was during the Nocturne's days. Holy fuck, man, that was. It's been a ride, but yeah, we've starting work on that. I think we were just on B-roll there. A little bit laughing about the different names that we have for our demos, you know, that we're going to be exchanging here. So always writing.
Yeah.
Jake and Joseph, do you guys really seem to enjoy like working together, like creating? I mean, that's the kind of the gist I get.
Yeah. Too like, much.
As a team.
Sometimes I'm like, Jake, I'm coming over and I'm not drinking this for this whole week. and then once in a while it sticks, but sometimes like the second day in, it's like we're at dinner and I'm like, oh Lord, all right, here we go. And then it's like 7 a.m. we're smoking cigars and we're on our like 10th bottle of wine.
That's actually my favorite thing is because we started this shit when we were younger. And we do it, but now we're like, okay, we're gonna start writing at 10 a.m. You know, and we're gonna handle this properly. And then you know that doesn't even happen. And it's like we end up seeing each other, and one bottle of wine comes out, and then by the end of it, it's 6, and it's fucking 6 o'clock in the morning. We're like, all right, yeah, I'll see you at 10 p.m. We'll start writing then. And, I mean,
it's the creative juices started.
I'm here in my apartment right now in LA, and we wrote a lot of the record in Florida at my place, but here this one has we had some chick that got really pissed off at us. God, that was during Curse of Autumn, I think. Came up
and the neighbor.
Fucking, oh yeah, that night.
I remember she came to the door.
we could have a fucking entire podcast just on the writing sessions, dude. I mean, it's ridiculous. We have too much fun together when we do it, and it's fun too because we'll do it and then we'll we write a bunch of shit. Usually the first or few days, because then the last day we're pretty hungover and we're like, yeah, we did well, because you get so much out. And then it's almost like kind of like doing a hardcore drug, is that like afterwards you feel depleted, you know? So the last day we're like, okay, well, we're done with that. And then we come back and then we'll like send each other ideas and or Joseph will be like, hey, look, like here's a vocal melody for that one idea you did at 7 o'clock in the morning on Ambien. And
you don't remember.
Where do I begin? You
know? Well, dude, the best part, he had some magic. Like Insidious was one take. Like,
oh yeah, that was awesome.
That song is me just hitting record and going, hey, like just play something, and like he did the whole arrangement like 4 minutes in, like one take, like off the cuff, and I just took it and like you know wrote the song around it. And then like, where do I begin? He didn't even fucking remember like that we worked on it. And so I had to actually show him the thing when we were recording it.
Yeah.
Like, here's the guitar part. No, it's like this.
But
you weren't even coherent when that was going on.
Right. Yeah.
Like it was still his fingers on the fretboard. But you know,
totally
like,
pulled a Rosie O'Donnell.
Like, yeah, I mean, we were working on like stuff, you know, it's like the 9-chord type stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so like we sit there,
and it's like, I mean, when you look at that though, that's pretty. You're just kind of just moving around drunk, you know. Though it's a 9-chord, but like when we did Insidious, that was so I had a guitar. So when I got the Demons and Wizards gig, I was for some reason a bunch of these people knew I played Jackson 7-string V's. And a lot of people at that time were trying to sell Jackson 7-string V's. And so I just bought all of them. And I had one of them that was this, it's a really cool guitar. It's it's almost like a Curse of Autumn color. It's like a kind of like a tobacco burst on a V. And the entire time we were doing these fucking sessions for it, it had EMG pickups and they were all fucking up. And the guitar had to have a lot of work on it. But I grabbed it when Joseph said, "Dude, just fucking think about this and record something." And the guitar managed the entire way through that 4 minutes. But it was like a manage of picking up like a guitar, that guitar, and Insidious came out. I mean, almost to a T, exactly how it is on the record. I mean,
no, it's so, listen, like the best part about that is that it was like 4 a.m. It was the last thing we did that night. Like, then we went downstairs and drank and smoked cigars for 3 hours and figured out the album title. But like, I had a click going, but this is like drunken, just improvising. So when it came time to do the final demos for Marco, I had to create a click that would work, but I loved the feel of what he had played so much. I literally had to go in and like, I automated the click slowing down and coming back in to match what he was playing. So it's not like just like, here's 144 beats per minute, like eighth notes. It's literally the click is just matching what he's doing. So it's all over the place. If you listen to Insidious, it floats. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's one of the songs. And I mean, I think it was the first song you guys put out, the first video you guys put out, if I'm not mistaken. And it is one of those songs that just goes up, down, sideways, back and forth. And it is one of those that you mentioned. Marco Miniman, he actually recorded the drums on this album. But you guys have Chris Saganeas doing drums for you guys now. He's as permanent member. And Jerry Hirschfield, who's doing, I guess, the keyboards. And you guys have some live gigs coming up. Just recently, a few days ago, you were announced for the Candelabrum Metal Fest down in Guanajuato, Mexico. It's one of the bigger festivals down there. How good does it feel to get back out there again to a major festival?
I mean, it feels great. I love your festival you had, but it's one of my worst experiences as me personally. No, I won't.
I remember.
So it feels really great. I mean, Wither Falls played more festivals than we've done, you know, other shows, and the festivals are really cool because it's a way to get out there and to a lot of people that also don't even really know your band. You know, they're kind of there to see some other headliners. So it's fantastic. I mean, it's a lot of work to do those shows. You know, we're flying to Mexico. We got to fly right back to, we got to go to Germany for a show right after that. So, you know,
it's
it's an experience there.
Other shows too. Like nothing's announced yet, but we're going to another country, then going to Germany. So Mexico, somewhere else in Europe, then Germany, and then probably the mental institute.
What about hit the US a little bit?
What's that?
What about hit up the US a little bit?
You know, it's not up to us. Everyone asks us, and it's like the promoters have to pay us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not free. We're not cheap. Like,
right.
We got Anthony Crawford, who's fucking his meal budget alone would bankrupt most bands.
His dildo allowance.
Yeah. No, we don't touch the dildo budget.
The baggage, you know, the fucking the luggage fees.
Oversized latex dildos are heavy. especially the big black dildos. Like, I think they weigh more than the white ones.
I mean, it's, you know, we have a group of and fuck it. I mean, I'll just say it. I mean, we Joseph and I are the only ones, you know, we pay our guys that are in this band. So because to execute the music that we're trying to do and perform on stage, it's like you can't just really get a guy from Guitar Center, you know, that's like, hey, yeah, I want to be in a band.
Or a guy named Black Dynamite. You can't just get that guy. Like, you have to have.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jesus.
You have to have professionals.
Yeah. I knew I was going to drink a lot for this interview. It's a lot of work to get Witherfall to do, you know, some live stuff, and so we need those shows to, and but we tell all of our fans, look, like, tell your local promoters you want us to come there, and you know those local promoters reach out to our agent, who is Stefan, and he hears it and he gets it, you know. It's but you know, we can't just go out and play a coffee shop, you know. It's just, it's not gonna be right for anybody.
You can't put this group of hooligans in a van, because none of us would make it out alive. Like, it needs to be
no.
Like a legit, you know.
It would reek of different stuff that I only want to talk about.
Now, being as you guys, I mean, just to, I saw Jake twice in 2019 with Demons and Wizards, at Metal Days in Wacken, and then
you were at the shows.
I was at the both of those, and then Joseph with Sanctuary before. So you guys have had that experience with the bigger bands and doing the bigger tours. So I would imagine you guys already have an idea of what you want a Witherfall to kind of evolve to as far as that aspect goes. Mm-hmm. So I mean that. You do have to take that into account when you're taking you're taking offers for shows, that you do already know what to expect, and there's a certain level of professionalism that you have to encounter,
which I absolutely commend you on, because your festival that you had was fantastic. I know we just talked about that on the recent Witherfall one a couple weeks ago, but that was treated like Demons, like when I was with Demons and Wizards and all that stuff. I couldn't believe it. I also wanted to hang myself in my hotel room, but I didn't want to give you that hotel bill, because I went out there. Imagine finding a carcass with
corpse removal is expensive in Mexico.
Yes, exactly. But I was, I mean, that was incredible. That was how, I mean, I'm going to sound like an asshole, but I think it's how bands should be treated if they're like that. That's how it was in Demons and Wizards. Demons and Wizards was also a very big, I'm also naive, man. I never really listened to Demons and Wizards until I had to start learning the songs, you know. I didn't realize how big they were. But obviously, I mean, headlining Bakken, I was like, whoa, you guys know these songs. So, okay. You know, very big, but also, you know, expensive shows, you know. From the back end, you know, and that shows. And then also we had a crew. We might have had two buses, you know, and a whole like semi truck carrying gear. So that, I know you guys know, if you guys put festivals on, how much that might cost, you know. It's very expensive. And for a band like Witherfall, you know, it's, We want just a little taste of that, you know, a little taste of just, it's nice to be like, hey, you know, we have hotel rooms for you guys and someone to pick you up at a airport rather than us trying to figure out Uber and fit a whole bunch of gear into a goddamn Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
A show in front of four people.
You know, not for nothing. Like, a lot of people think Jake and I are very stuck up, which is possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're drinking wine and talking about like Vakken and fucking two tour buses and a track trailer full of gear. But the thing is like, it is a little bit that, you know, we want to be treated a certain way, and you know, we know our worth. We know this band is what it's worth, and we're not going to like show up like for any bullshit like offer, you know. Like, this band is expensive, you know. Like, Jake and I don't make any money. There's no money for us. It's expensive to bring these guys out and to, you know, to put on these shows. But also, more importantly, I think, is that Jake and I also come from a place, and that was like the fires of hell that born Witherfall was like. We saw like what it's like when you don't do like things properly, and then you don't have your ducks in a row, and you know, like, so we just want to avoid all of that, really. Like, I don't think we elaborate on where we were, but
yeah, it's besides the songs that we were talking about. Yeah, it was also a way of handling tours, but you know, money is a whole thing about that, and it's, you know, you can have people that say, okay, I can do a tour this way, and then, you know, shit, man, I remember when Joseph in a band that I will remain nameless on, but how when I first met was, he, you know, the first night he was like, well, we don't get hotels, and it's like, no, dude, we're fucking sleeping at a parking lot in the van, and you got to shower at the Starbucks right before the venue. I mean, dude, we went through all that shit, and yeah. Dude, frankly, I'm not that old, but I'm too old for that shit anymore. It's also like, look, man, been there, done that. I've also seen the great things of having both sides, and I'm like, I know where Witherfall's at. We're not asking for too much. I think we're just asking for we got to have the band comfortable, and you know, that's it. Just to be able to have a good show, like these.
Sure.
And hey, man, I give it to all those bands that are out there, but those dudes are all in their 20s and shit in those vans. We fucking did it. Like, you know, dude, I slept for 30 days with a goddamn seatbelt in my goddamn rib right here for, oh my God, in blazing heat in the middle of fucking August in Tucson, Arizona. Done it, man. Done it.
You were doing that for like a year before I even joined that band.
A year before, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I showed up at the last minute, and then of course, like, because I was like total hired gun. I was the only one in that band getting paid, and then everyone's mad at me.
Yeah. so like, if anybody ever gives a shit for like, you guys, you know, like, this is how it's done, I'm like, dude, I fucking know. I've done it. Right. Like, it's like, if you can't do it, then we're not going to do it. I'm sorry. Like,
And it doesn't really,
dude. I don't want to be homeless again. That's what I want. It was fun for the time, but you know,
It doesn't work either. Like, you know, unless you got like five guys that are all in the same like desperate early music career, financial situation, just hungry, like, you know, five musketeer fucking bullshit where everyone gets an equal piece of the steak. Yeah, you could do that, and maybe the lottery ticket pans out, but you know, like, we got guys that played with Justin Timberlake. Like, they're not gonna fucking go in a van and play for $50 a night, and you know, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, and Jerry played with Willie Nelson. I mean, yeah,
like, we've all paid our dues already. Like, this is done. So, like, if you want,
so you pay him in weed.
Oh God, I don't think Jerry can.
Hey, you toured with Willie Nelson.
Yeah. Jerry's listening right now.
Hey, man, trust me. You want to not hang out with Wiffle? We've already overtaken this conversation. I think we should move on to the next topic, because holy fuck, we've been talking about this same thing for we babble on.
This is the best part about Witherfall, is it's just a never-ending stream of madness.
It is. We probably got to do it in person again next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie, awesome, man. Yeah. I got to rewatch that interview, man. Holy shit.
It was pretty wild.
You were loaded. Yeah. You were wearing sunglasses the whole time.
Yeah, he was like sitting there like, just like answer questions like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, I mean, it goes back to, I don't know if it was before the camera cut off, but it's those old school videos, man, that you watch. That shit was entertaining, man. It was like Metallica, Guns N' Roses, and they were just like, I mean, they didn't have anything that anybody was going to be like, oh, I got to repost. Yeah. I'm going to repost this because he said something dumb, you know?
It felt like Cliff and Mall, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, well, that's awesome, man. I mean.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
That and a mix of Chris Holmes in the pool drinking himself to death. But it was fucking fantastic.
All right. Well, I'm going to check myself into rehab tomorrow.
Your interview, interview at Charlie and Echo, was like one of the like final straws where the label's like, guys, is this really how you want to market the band?
That's like fucking awesome.
Walking around with a bottle of wine and no shirt, and Joseph's posting photos of fucking big titty chicks with the fucking with their fall shirts, and like you guys are like fucking like 80s rock pirates. Like your audience is drinking beer. And
well, you know what's funny is that was 2021, I think, was that, yeah, that sounds about right, when we did that interview. Yeah. right. Yeah, yeah. Prior, I got in trouble with our label because I posted a video of me drinking. I was on a lake in Florida and drinking a bottle of Kim Crawford. The bottle. the label got really, really pissed at me for that. And a few days later I heard from Kim Crawford that were like, can we use this photo of you for our Instagram? I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, why not?
Dude, so, marketing.
I was like, yeah, you want to sponsor me? I've probably paid for your entire fucking office building with the
oh my god.
It's just weird, man. I mean, hey, it's like, again, no hate to the label or anything like that. They're following a structure, you know, that they foresee. But to me, a lot of that stuff is it might be a little too gritted, you know, for me personally, where it's like it's kind of fun to be I watch interviews of bands from the 70s. I watch interviews, dude, Joseph and I, when we were working on Sounds of Forgotten, we were watching a video of Richie Blackmore destroying all of his amplifiers, the biggest festival in the US festival. Have you guys seen that video? Yeah. Where he just goes fucking nuts, and it's like, that is so unprofessional. But it's highly entertaining.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're not lawyers, like, you know what I mean? Like, our job isn't to like go by the numbers and make sure everyone's safe and protected and you know, isn't offended. Like, our job is just to entertain people and be ridiculous. That's why, you know, I love music and I love the art of music. And like, you know, I always thought when I was like a teenager and composing that I'd be like some Mozart with my own fucking K number and all that shit. Like, but in the grand scheme of things, I love the ridiculousness of rock music. Like, I love it. Like, I'm like, how can I be a composer in that fucking paradigm, in that circus? You know what I mean? Like, I want to be the guy in the tuxedo in the middle of the circus watching all the freaks surrounding me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll be a freak every once in a while, but
right.
Like, I don't, God, like, if you're
it's rock and roll.
If you're in the music business and you're offended, then you're in the wrong business.
Well, I mean, what was the stuff that you guys really liked? I mean, what were some of your favorite interviews that you've ever watched? I mean, there's got to be some. I mean, you guys are doing this right now, so you obviously...
That whole, you know, the decline of Western civilization was a classic. Yeah. You watched the Pantera home videos where first band that I really ever saw that was just like exposed to... They were just falling down drunk, puking all over themselves, and they didn't give a fuck. They sold it, and you know, which was okay. This is more of they're human. They're just like everybody else, you know.
Anything that goes off the rails is always good.
It's the best. I mean, to me, it's those interviews that are very like stoic and fake. They just seem stale, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when
When people get out of their comfort zone. When people like just stop like thinking PR and just start like just just spewing out and talking conversational. That's the best interviews, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. That's why how the podcast became so big, is because that's exactly what it does. You know, you're not, mm-hmm. you're not really, you're just kind of just like word of mouth. Speaking of the Pantera thing, before I think of Witherfall, I always watched one of Yngwie Refuses Donuts.
He doesn't dig donuts, man.
Doesn't eat donuts. He has two chicks with him too, and he's just fucking awesome. And he goes up into the hotel room.
Should have given the chicks the donuts.
That's good shit. that's fucking entertainment.
Yep, straight up classic entertainment. The album is called Sounds of the Forgotten, May 31st via Deathwave Records. We're the Fall. Always a fucking pleasure. Let's do this again soon. And for everyone out there, witherfall.com. The album's coming out on vinyl, CD,
digital.
Digital. Yeah, are you guys doing the beer again? That was really good beer, the Black Lager.
I'm going to go to the Decibel Fest. They sent me some passes. So, Yeah, we're gonna we'll find somebody.
Get it done. Get it done. Somebody, it was great. Good beer.
You guys liked it?
Oh, I bought a six pack of that shit. It was delicious.
Dude, that beer was amazing.
It was good. High gravity, nice and fucking dark and
dark. Yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah, it was good stuff.
High gravity and dark, like Witherfall.
Did you guys have any more questions, man? Or I feel like we kind of like overtook your.
No, I think we're good.
I think we're gonna wrap it up.
Yeah. For Brian, I'm Israel, and Jake, and Joseph. We'll see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Right on, man.